Hey guys, it's me. It's Mike. So we record the show live on Monday nights on strangelabel.com. Right before us is the Furnacast. It's a good show. You haven't listened to the Furnacast? Listen to the Furnacast. It's good. Anyway, they do their show before us, and then we come on. And so in between our shows, we talk to each other for a couple of minutes. And typically, we don't include it in the podcast. It's just a live-only thing. So if you enjoy this, hey, come listen live. It's fun. But I'm including some of the handoff with the Furnacast in this episode because what we talk about in the handoff is referenced throughout the show. And so you wouldn't get it. Well, I mean, you probably don't care. But you wouldn't get what we're talking about throughout the episode if I didn't. So that's why I'm doing it. So for the next 7 minutes, what you're hearing is our handoff with the Furnacast and then the show. So thanks for downloading it. Yeah, great. Bye.
Sandy.
What?
Saturday morning.
Okay.
I get up kind of early. I'm heading to work, right?
Right.
I pour my cup of coffee. I'm walking towards my stairs to leave to go to work.
Okay.
And a frog hops by me in my living room. That's right.
Wow.
A frog.
In your living room?
In my living room.
Did you, Mike, now, did you say, get out of here, frog?
No, I think I said, what the fuck? I thought that I was hallucinating or something.
Then you just threw your coffee at it?
Get out of here, frog!
Don't like crawl. Don't get in my vagina.
So did the frog then grab its cane and top hat and say, "W-W-W-W-B.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime.
I'm talking to my work colleagues.
Don't interrupt me, Mike.
About my frog in my house. And they're all insisting that the only way this frog could have possibly gotten into my house is through the tarlet.
Right.
Right. I knew it. I fucking knew it. How many times have I told you people?
That
how
is
many
the dumbest
times?
Fucking thing I have ever heard.
How
in my
many
life?
Times have I told you that your toilet hole is just an opening in which animals can come into your home?
Mandy has a
how
pressurized metal lid
how
on her toilet.
How many times?
Travis, I don't have like holes in my house anywhere. I don't keep my windows open or my doors open.
Well, it probably
how
came
else
up,
would the frog have gotten in?
It probably came up through the foundation somehow.
Yeah, frogs can get in your house. It's not that crazy. How do bats get in your house if you have,
maybe
like,
it's not
bales?
That crazy. It's totally crazy.
It's
how many frogs have you had
crazy.
In your house?
Come on, dude.
In my lifetime?
Travis, you're lying to yourself. Quit fucking around and just admit the truth.
The fucking toilet is not... The stuff that I can almost guarantee that Mike has flushed down his toilet would have killed any living thing that could possibly exist.
It's got to come...
If he was lucky enough...
It's got to come around the U-bend and everything. I mean, there's a lot of shit to go through before you get out of a toilet.
Especially,
are you talking
I'm sure
about
you're
my dukes,
up...
Travis?
Oh, yeah,
man,
of course.
I got toxic dukes?
Yes.
I don't think my dukes are toxic.
Your ass has had more problems
only...
than anybody I've ever heard of in my life, and it's got to be because of the feces.
But Travis's theory here that Mike's toxic dukes are going to somehow prevent creatures from crawling up of his toilet is just, I mean, you'd have to time it perfectly at the same time as
no,
the,
it flushes the whole
no,
system out.
No, because Mike is gone for 8 hours a day. That gives a frog
not
plenty
every day.
Of time to
and
plan and
night.
Execute an escape from the sewer pipes
so,
into Mike's
do you realize
home.
What you're saying? Frogs are one of the dumbest creatures.
The only other
aside
thing
from
that could have
said.
Happened
present.
In Mike's toilet is it would have mutated an animal and it would have come out singing a song or trying to fight Mike.
Or possibly
saying,
granting wishes.
It would have been a supervillain origin story. It would have been a super frog.
Ass frog. Toilet frog.
Jay, you ever had a frog in your house?
Oh, Jay.
No.
No, he's there.
I thought Jay hung up.
It's weird, right?
Yeah, I don't think it came from the toilet, though. Yeah. I mean, is your toilet on, like, a basement level, or is it, like, on a second floor type thing?
It's like, on, like, the second floor. The frog was on the second floor.
You people are blind.
I mean, unless that's some kind of, like, Mission Impossible frog. I don't know how he would have climbed up a vertical a vertical.
Right. It's the sheer mechanics of it.
You guys,
why? Because he had his back against the white waist stack and his little webbed feet against the other side, and he's like shimmying up the stack.
If Dan's theory was correct, if the frog came in through like the foundation or something, he would have had to go up two flights of stairs.
Right. Which is less plausible. No, what I'm trying to say is,
could like jump up one set of
You've
steps
been brainwashed by the man. You guys don't know what
the man.
He was putting his back against the pipe and using his legs to like go up it like it was a fucking mission to get to Mike's fucking toilet.
Like it's man versus wild. It's a vertical fucking pipe. It is
He can swim up it.
It's not full of water, you fucking idiot.
He can swim up it.
Do frogs climb walls?
No.
Frogs have sticky feet, you
idiot. You're thinking of tree frogs.
Was it's it a, not fucking Spider-Man, dummy.
Was it a South American tree frog?
No, it's a frog.
Frog. She has like some kind of frog with suction cup feet.
Right.
Okay, see, you should throw a frog against a wall and see if it fucking sticks.
We're doing that next week on the Furnicast.
There's four of you.
Frog launcher.
Final verdict. How did the frog get in my living room?
Toilet.
Jay.
The fucking... Jay.
Don't you dare.
I don't know the layout of your house, but I would say either foundation. I mean, he even could have got, into the vents somehow.
Oh, that's more plausible than the toilet.
Yes, it is.
Give me a break.
Vents are like ground level half the time. Like my dryer
vent was on the second
floor. It's like 6 inches off the ground.
Look, all
it's like 100 degrees. I imagine if the frog came in through the air conditioner, he'd have got chopped up by the air conditioner. It's running all the time. It never stops.
Wait.
I'm guessing it.
The fan blades. Well, yeah.
Here's my guess. It rode
no,
in.
Oh, it's not your turn.
Oh,
Mike,
sorry,
who's
sorry,
next?
Sorry.
Mandy. Right.
Mandy already.
It was the toilet, obviously.
Swam in through the toilet.
I have no editorializing. Right. Just say your guess. You don't need to fucking
obviously.
Put
obviously.
I'm cutting Mandy's mic.
Dan, how'd the frog get in my house?
My guess is that it rode in with Napier somehow. He's got.
You think Napier's smuggling frogs?
No, I don't. I think it was an accident, but he's got so much wacky shit in his house. He probably didn't realize that he was carrying a frog on him.
He didn't know it was on there.
It was wrapped up in his pocket. He took his jacket off or something, and it hopped out.
Yeah, Napier's like lost remotes in his body before.
Right,
so
exactly. It rode in with Napier somehow.
There's a good likelihood that there might have been a frog in him somewhere.
That's the best one so far, I think.
Okay, Travis, how'd the frog get in my house?
You walked in the door, and you didn't realize that it jumped through your legs, and you didn't see it right away.
You don't think I noticed the frog?
No, you did not.
It's perfectly plausible.
It was nighttime, you walked outside to take the garbage out, you came back in, the frog jumped through the door and went, you know.
So that would have meant that this frog would have had to been, like, standing out on the front porch, waiting for me to open that door, and timed it perfectly.
It could have been sitting just inside the door jamb and just waited for it, and you opened it, and in it went, and thank your lucky stars that it's been eating all of the insects in your house for 2 weeks, probably. Right.
Oh, yeah, Mike, you should just let it live there. It's doing you a real favor.
It is. It's like having bats in your yard. They eat all the mosquitoes.
No, kill the bat! God, bats!
Bats are gross. They'll turn you into
a bat. I'm a bat.
They're always trying to get into your pussy.
Listen, you laugh.
Hello and welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by my co-host via Skype, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Yo!
The albino alligator, Travis.
Rawr!
We are Napierless this evening. We are drunkless this evening.
The free clinic has helped quite a bit this last
week. So filling in this week, Matt of the Lotus Cast. Hello, Matt.
Hello, Mike. Hello, Jay.
Yay!
I will tell you, and this is the first a first for the show. I mean, the show's been on for 5+ years. This is the first episode of WFOD in its entire history that I am doing without pants.
Oh,
that is correct. I am pantsless right now, ladies and gentlemen. If you'd like to contact the show, 636-487-HAND or WFODix on Skype.
You could ask more questions about Pantsless Mike. It's like Toothless Joe, right?
You're taking a guess. What color underwear am I wearing?
Ooh.
If you win, I might show them to you.
Am I allowed to guess?
You get one guess.
I get one guess? I'm going to go with dark blue.
They're not dark blue.
Damn it.
They're not dark blue. So I guess as the show progresses, you can cancel some out, and then maybe you'll win just by being the only color left.
Guys,
let's just do the whole color spectrum this evening.
I'm gonna ask one question just to get the ball rolling.
Okay, if the question is what color are they, then I'm not answering, Travis. Oh. That's cheating.
Can I ask a different question then?
Okay.
Is it a character print?
It's a solid color.
A solid color. Okay. Yeah. See,
I do have some of the character print. I believe I have a pair of Elmo underwear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing the boxers anymore. I've gone strictly to boxer briefs.
Been in those for years, and it was the smartest decision I've ever made.
Yeah, the boxers, I was having problems with it. See, my dick and balls kept falling out the bottom of them, and then I had to adjust myself.
And no matter what kind of boxers you get, like the pee hole, it just it wide open.
Oh yeah,
it
there's no
flaps open.
If there's no cock button, then no yep. sir. No, that's
no,
awesome.
Sir.
Then
nope.
my dick just flops right out the cock, and then it's sitting at the shaft, and it's just rubbing. It's just rubbing all
damn
day.
Do you think that's an age thing? Like you go through the cycles where it's tidy whities or you know, like boy pants with the characters on them, and you graduate into boxers, thinking this is what I should be doing, and then feeds itself into boxer briefs.
I think everyone eventually in their life, if they grew up on one or the other, they come. I mean, unless you're like too old and like you're not buying underwear anymore because you don't give a fuck. I think the people in our age probably all have discovered boxer briefs and
yeah, the boxer briefs are definitely the way to go. I actually remember when I was wearing briefs, one of my friends told me that if you keep wearing briefs, it'll restrict your penis growth.
Is that
true? So I became very paranoid, and then that's when I switched to boxers. But then it just turned out that didn't help my penis grow.
But does
at all.
The boxer brief do a better job of letting your penis grow?
I don't know.
I mean,
I don't,
still
no,
kinda...
it turns out your penis just stops growing. It just
I think you're, yeah,
doesn't grow.
I think I just have to live with the fact that my penis is small.
You know, for a while there, I was just thinking that I just wasn't going to wear underwear for anymore. But then I fell back into habit. But like that brief period of time where I wasn't wearing underwear, it wasn't bad. I mean, it was kind of nice.
I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like the feel of a jean like brushing up against my cock. You know.
The only problem I have with going underwearless is that I'm constantly in fear that my zipper is down, and I feel like I'm taking a couple of fingers and putting them like in my dick region, like feeling for my zipper and making sure my zipper's okay. I'm paranoid about that kind of thing. And so then I'm always afraid that my dick's going to fall out of my jeans. And that's really the only reason I wear underwear is, you know, in case I forget to zip my zipper up.
I like to wear a pair of pants 3, 4, 5 times before I wash it. So, there's just something about my ass crack all rubbing up against the pair of pants that I want to wear a second time. You know,
I read a story about shopping retailer Kohl's. Are you familiar with Kohl's? You guys all have Kohl's, right? Kohl's is a national thing.
Yes.
Started by Herb Kohl, former governor or senator of Wisconsin.
Did you just make that up?
Nope, that is legitimately true. And he just last year sold the Milwaukee Bucks, which he also owned.
So the guy who owns Kohl's, his name is Herb?
Yep, Herb Kohl.
So somebody's suing Herb.
What?
Apparently,
what Herb do?
See, they're mad at Herb because what they do at Kohl's
is they have price tags on their shit that says, hey, you know, a lot of people are selling this for $40, but we're selling it for $20. So, I mean, you want to buy it for $20, right? Because that's a fucking good deal because other people are selling it for $40. I mean, like, we're Kohl's. We're helping you out.
Yeah.
And people think that that's misleading because apparently other people aren't selling it for $40.
Bullshit!
Yeah, I say bullshit. So I'm calling bullshit.
This lawsuit is happening. So, I mean, obviously, you look at it, you say, oh, it's $20, and I have $20, so I'm going to buy that, right? If you want it and it's $20, you buy it.
I guarantee Kohl's finds one place that is selling it for that price, like whether it be a website or what have you, and that's like they have at least one place that is selling it for the outrageous price, and then they can say that they're selling it
because
for
somebody is selling it for that.
Somebody has to be. It's, like whether it's probably on eBay or something.
What's Flo? Is she Progressive?
Progressive. How
they shop for the lowest
price match.
Kohl's has the opposite of that. They search for the highest price, and then that's what they can tell people the high that somebody's selling it for.
Right. Do you guys like the Kohl's? Do you shop at the Kohl's frequently?
I'm not a frequent Kohl's shopper. I believe my mom used to take me to Kohl's a lot when I went shopping with my mom.
I'm a big fan of Kohl's. I don't shop there often either, but recently we were out of town and I swung in there because I needed some work slacks. And I'll tell you one thing about Kohl's. You don't shop their regular prices. You wait till next week because then they cut them either in half or up to 75% off any other week.
Yeah. I was going to say, you could find some really good deals there on occasion. You walk in there and it's like, you know, the clothes are pretty good. And then they have that weird section in the back that's like dedicated to the as seen on TV shit. And that stuff gets weird. Like, it's really obscure.
Like the bacon maker.
Yeah. It's like, I haven't seen this on TV.
Yeah, you've never seen it. I think it's the stuff that you did see on TV once, a long time ago. And now they're not doing the 1-800 number anymore, so now it's in Kohl's.
You probably didn't see it on TV because you're not a frequent watcher of the Home Shopping Network.
I'll tell you what, Travis. When that,
yes, sir.
When that Power Pressure XL thing makes it to Kohl's...
You're in.
I'm in. Have you seen that infomercial?
No idea what that
Travis,
is.
Travis, can you do like a AT&T U-verse search for infomercials? Or is it just kind of...
Wait, what is it? A power pressure cooker?
The power
cooker?
Pressure
Ooh,
cooker
Ooh, the power
XL.
Pressure cooker XL. It's popped up like Google said, hey, here it is. This you must be looking for this.
You guys need to watch that. I watched it like 4 times in a row. Like I watched,
that is a $100 item, Mike.
I watched the whole thing, and then it came on again, and I watched it again.
Travis, it's only $80 at Kohl's.
Oh, it's $70 at Susamart.
Let's see, keep going. See, you're going to find the best deal.
And nope. If you have some Kohl's cash or have a Kohl's card, you can get that at least 30% cheaper than that.
Is it at Kohl's?
Of course it is.
Is it at Kohl's.com or something?
I have ads on the side of my Google search that say Kohl's pressure cookers.
This is where we need our listeners, the WFOD army, to find me the best deal on the Power Pressure Cooker XL.
Well, I'm going rummage sailing a week from next week. I guarantee you I find at least 3 of them in the box, brand new, that nobody's used. The thing about these kind of items that you think is a great idea, when we got married, which my wife and I, not you and I, when we got married 8 years ago, we thought, we're scanning all of our things at the home appliance store, and we're like, look at this toaster that also cooks an egg, and also makes bacon. You can make your own Egg McMuffin sandwiches.
You can make all an egg in a toaster?
Yes! It's got a little egg warmer plate. You crack the egg, it cooks the egg, it's got a bacon warmer thing, so you can put, like, pre-cooked bacon in there.
Do you scramble the egg, or can you have any kind of egg?
It's just like at McDonald's. It's got that circular...
Oh, it's like a hockey puck egg.
Yeah, it's the hockey puck egg. So you can make your entire breakfast sandwich in this toaster. Well, when we decided to sign up for our wedding shower, our wedding gifts, we had to have this. This is genius. We love breakfast sandwiches. We're going to use this cocksucker all the time. I think it was about 4 or 5 years after we got married that my brother turned 18, 19 and moved out of his dad's house.
You gave it to him.
And I just gave him all the appliances that we had, still brand new in boxes, and that was one of them.
Somebody got me for my birthday 1 year a hot dog cooker, and like it had a little slot.
A bun warmer!
It had a little slot that you could toast your hot dog buns.
Yes.
Then, like you could put the, and then it like went down like a toaster and then popped up when they were done.
Of course.
And I could never figure out a way for it not to burn my bun. And the hot dogs didn't really come out very well. So I think I used that thing like twice. And then I was like, you know what? I put hot dogs in the microwave for 30 seconds and they're fine.
Do you ever boil the hot dog?
I'm not a hot dog boiler. I'm not.
Yeah.
A lot of people boiling hot dogs. That's just really gross to me.
Yeah, I boil the hot dog. I don't mind a boiled hot dog.
Do you have chocolate starfish with it? With
no.
Your hot dog flavored water?
I'm not Fred Durst. But I do boil the hot dog on occasion. I'm a rube for stuff like this. Like the hot dog cooker. Like if I was walking through Walmart and I saw it, I would buy it. I always do that stuff. Like I just recently bought the Scrub Daddy. And I just see it. I'm like, wow, that looks cool. I might as well buy it. It's like 2 for fucking $15. That's a deal, right? I'm getting 2 of them for a deal.
You know who's a sucker for that shit? Is my daughter, who wants all of that as seen on TV. Like the Stompies. She's got to have the Stompies and the Dream Lights.
Explain a Stompy to me.
The Stompy is a slipper. It's just a bedtime slipper that every time you walk on it, it's got a little air pad in the back. And they're in fun animal shapes. So every time you step on them, their ears go flop, flop.
Huh. I don't like those.
Mike, just don't have kids. I think that's what Travis is trying to tell you right now.
Like everything makes a noise now?
Everything. Anything kid-related has to make some sort of, like, noise. It has to, you know, because kids are stupid.
Yeah, but that's awesome. My boy has a stuffed animal Raphael, which is also supposed to be like a pillow. And every time you put your head on it or hit it or drop it, it's like Raphael's trying to train you to be a ninja. He says things like, great job, hit him again. And that's, that shit's awesome. So what he's learned from his stuffed Raphael that's training him to be a ninja is how to directly hit his sister dead center in the chest.
Right.
Nonstop all day long.
Good hit. You put her in a coma.
She's not going to be able to breathe for 4 minutes. Yeah!
Congratulations, you broke her tailbone.
No, but like, guys, I can't stress to you enough that you need to watch the infomercial for the Power Pressure Cooker.
Echo. I have the video here.
Is that a Ron Popeil invention?
It makes me so happy to watch.
Did you just ignore Travis?
I did. I don't know who Ron Popeil is, and so I'm just going to – I don't want to sound stupid. I just want to move on. The guy that makes the Power Pressure Cooker XL, I followed him on Twitter. I've tweeted to him several times. He has not responded. I don't know who Ron Popeil is, but that isn't that
He's
guy.
He's a goddamn creator of the food dehydrator. You want to make beef jerky at home? You better know who Ron Popeil is.
I have a dehydrator. I don't have a Ron Popeil thing. I don't know who Ron... I'm with Mike. I don't know who Ron Popeil is.
You sons of bitches.
But I'm not afraid to
at least just say it. You know, thanks.
I'm just a retard. So that's just the answer.
The meals just look so damn convenient. You can make things like really fast with the power of pressure cooking, guys.
Mike, you can just set it and forget it.
Right. there's a white rice setting and a brown rice setting. Why do the rices need different settings? Isn't rice rice? Why
is there a roni setting? Okay.
It was so bad. It was just so bad. It was the worst thing that has ever come out of your mouth.
Travis!
Maybe it's an off night. You never know. It's a
right
bad
before
week
the show started, you sent me a article from Vice that just set my world on fire.
Uh-oh.
I almost can't believe it, mostly because it says that this theory has been around for multiple years, and it's just now gaining traction again. Like, now, I would have thought that I would have heard about something so ridiculous.
Now, I almost got to a point where I was calling my mom on the phone to have her looking through old boxes to
find
stuff.
You should have asked me. I could have took you pictures and sent them to you.
Now, when I was a child, I was an avid reader of the Berenstain Bears.
I mean, who didn't read the Berenstain
Bears? Everybody did.
Everybody's into the Berenstain Bears.
Matt, who was it again?
The Berenstain Bears.
The Berenstain Bears, correct.
Yeah, they were Jewish.
But apparently, and this is Travis sent me this, and it fucked me up. I've been pretty fucked up this week. I've had a weird week, guys.
Okay.
The Berenstain Bears.
You had a weird week. And wait.
This is what set me over the edge, Matt. I'm having a weird week. There was frogs in my house, and now this.
This is topping it off.
Travis,
blowing his mind.
Tell Matt what you told me.
Well, the theory is that everybody remembers Berenstain Bears. Of course they do. But it is the Berenstain Bears.
Yeah, the
with
Berenstain
an A. Bears. Yeah, an A. It is with an A. It's the Berenstain Bears. That's how it's written.
Wait, everybody's hold on. Like, how is it spelled?
Stain. Stain.
Oh, Bear. Not
the
oh.
Berenstain Bears.
Yeah, the Berenstain Bears.
No, Berenstain Bears.
No, the Berenstain Bears.
Right.
Okay, stop. Both of you stop saying it.
You say it.
How do you spell it?
Just like Baron, and then Stain.
Stain. It's the Berenstain Bears, Matt. Not the Berenstain Bears. The Berenstain Bears.
I'm Googling this right now.
Apparently, it's always been that way.
It's always been that way.
And that's what they're trying to push on us. But that's crap.
There is a weird theory that the fact that you remember it as the Berenstain Bears and the fact that it's spelled the Berenstain Bears means that is proof of a parallel universe. That
holy
it's
shit.
A glitch in the Matrix.
Yeah. No, this is... I'm looking at titles now of the Berenstain Bears, and it is. They're all spelled...
Stain.
Yeah, but...
It's always been the Berenstain Bears.
No, somebody has gone through and erased history.
Yes, the entire internet has been erased, as well as all of the books that were produced 30 to 40 years ago, and they have changed them all.
So you know who must be behind this?
And Mike Berenstain, whose names were their offers?
Oprah, if there's one person that has been able to erase things off of the internet, and it's Oprah.
She's an anti-Semite, and like you said, Berenstain is obviously a Jewish name.
It is.
And Oprah hates Jews?
Yes, that is what it is. No doubt about it, Oprah has somehow changed this.
She has un-Jewed the internet.
She's the only person that has the power, the capability to pull something like this off.
But I mean, I have the hard copies. I have the hard copies, like, way back... At my parents' house, and there's no way that Oprah snuck into my house. And
no, she did. Clearly,
I'm gonna blow this out of the water.
A fucking frog just snuck into your house. You don't think Oprah can?
Oprah can do anything she puts her mind to.
If you think a frog snuck into your house, Oprah is definitely getting in there.
Hey, Oprah can do anything. She created a TV network that was doomed to fail immediately, and 2 years later makes plenty of money.
Anchor in the chat says, I think on the TV show it was pronounced Steen.
I do too.
It was.
It is. No, it was. Like, when they sang the song, Berenstain Bears, like, they pronounced, the PBS show pronounced it Berenstain Bears.
They have a theme song that says the name?
Absolutely. But it is still spelled Stain in the television program.
But they say Steen.
Correct.
Is it, like, very subtle? Like,
No, they just say it. Berenstain Bears.
This is really fucked up, guys.
It's fucking you up, isn't it?
You've been pronouncing like last names of people wrong all your life. Like, people just get their names mispronounced forever, and they just become that guy. You know, they just become that person that you've, like, your last name is pronounced wrong. Well, whatever, it's spelled this way, but people are idiots. You know, as children, we pronounced him Bernstein because that's just kind of how it works. It's just not spelled that way. And there's no parallel universes. There's no glitch in the Matrix. It's pronounced Steen. It's spelled Stain.
Now, I mean, like, if I introduced you to the same guy 20 times and I told you his name was something different than it actually was,
you'll pronounce it that way.
Would you have a really hard time remembering his name isn't that if somebody came and told you that later?
Especially if it was 30 years later and you're remembering it from your childhood.
Right.
Yeah, that's...
This I mean, is those are the goddamn Berenstain Bears.
The Berenstain Bears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spelt like Jan and Mike's last name, Stain. Let me ask you. Let's go away from the conspiracy theory because we know it's bullshit. There's no possible way that Neo has escaped the Matrix, but it didn't fix Neo, but he didn't fix the Berenstain Bears books because you know they all wanted to fuck with us. What is your all-time favorite Berenstain Bears book?
I can't say that I can point out a particular book, but there was one, like, page. I think it took over two pages. Like, you opened it up, and the artwork was on one page. And it was him and his son, and they were hiding from bees. So they had to go underwater. And at the time, as a kid, I remember being obsessed with anything that had, like, an underwater scene in the book. And I would just stare at it because I was like, I always just wanted to be underwater. I don't know if that's weird.
So
it's not weird at all.
Okay, it was Berenstain the whole time. Let's accept that. We'll say okay.
I don't think I can.
No, let's just say it was. Do you think that like people started mispronouncing it because Steen is more common than Stain is unusual in a name. Steen. It happens. Do you think that people were mispronouncing it enough that they just adapted that to be the proper pronunciation, even though it was spelled different?
I mean, that's definitely a possibility. There are towns all across the country that people just pronounce. Like, there's no way that the town should be pronounced that way. Like, Kentucky is riddled with them. Massachusetts, where I live, is riddled with them. I mean, like, Athens...
Wisconsin, which is totally Native American towns that are no possible way that the spelling would be the pronunciation.
Like, enough people called Stefan Stefan that finally he just said, okay, my name's Stefan, who gives
you a shit? You mean like Stefan Urkel?
In Kentucky, like, we have an Athens, or it's called, you know, it's pronounced Athens, or no, Athens, but it's an Athens, Kentucky. There's also a Versailles, Kentucky, but they pronounce it Versailles. And in Massachusetts, like, you just run up and down the list. Like, we have a town called Haverhill, but it's actually spelled Haverhill. And it's just, it's littered with just crazy fucking names. And yeah, people just started saying it, and they passed it on, and nobody wants to correct them. And now there's, like, some sort of pride, you know. Oh, that's how we say it in our state. Go fuck yourself.
Guys, let's take a break.
Are you sure you should take a break?
I think
Matt's brain's going to explode and he's not going to be back.
I actually want to know more about the frog, but...
When we come back, I will tell you about my frog. I did have an interesting week. I'll probably touch on that. I don't want to goof on it or anything, but I do want to talk about
it. You don't want to make fun of the fact that there was a frog in your house?
Quickly, it's been a weird week, Matt.
Quickly, what was the frog from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? I know there was Mondo Gecko. Who is the frog?
Napoleon Bonafrog or something.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
So we will be back in just a couple of minutes. Thanks, everybody in chat. We got a pretty good turnout tonight. We appreciate it. Anchor says Joe Theismann's name is actually pronounced Theismann. That's probably made up. But at this point, I mean, like, how it might be true. Who even knows anymore, right?
Oprah Winfrey.
Our entire life is a lie. And, I mean, we're all just kind of out here eating this shit up, and there's no end in sight to the bullshit.
I mean, I guess.
I mean, you can't take away the lessons that they taught us, regardless of their names. So
also,
you
know. Also, Mike had a frog in his house.
I did have a frog in my house.
Yeah, fucking so sick of this Napier, frog already.
Napier's got a raccoon problem.
I have a raccoon problem, too.
Wait, what?
Before we go to break.
That's kind of racist. I know you live close to Ferguson.
Couple days.
It's a whole year.
Matt, I'm in my kitchen.
Yeah.
And I hear somebody, like, jiggling my door handle.
See, okay. he's going right into your assessment.
And so yeah. I'm like, who the fuck is jiggling my goddamn door? Is somebody trying to get into my fucking house?
Yep.
So I go and I look out the window, and there's a raccoon standing on another raccoon.
Okay.
Trying to turn the handle on my... Now, you're thinking this is bullshit.
Yeah,
it's
bullshit. I mean,
you're thinking, like, you know, oh, only velociraptors and humans can do that. But no, apparently...
You fell asleep watching the movie The Great Outdoors. Or you thought that you woke up to see Travis, a raccoon standing on another raccoon.
There was two goddamn raccoons out on my deck, and one of them was standing on the... He was giving him a boost so that he could try to open the door to my house. If you think I'm bullshitting, I'm not. I'm telling you.
Why didn't you immediately take pictures of these
Travis,
fucking raccoons making a human pyramid?
I was yelling at him. I was like, what the fuck? Fuck are you guys doing? You're raccoons. You're not supposed to be able to do stuff like this.
And you expected them to understand your English words.
And I thought that was crazy. But then 2 days later, there was a goddamn frog in my house.
Are you Dr. Doolittle?
Maybe they're coming to you to try to get
I'm like that, what was that one with Steve Carell had all the animals? Bruce Almighty.
Part two.
I'm going to have to build a boat, you guys.
Maybe.
Build a damn boat.
The world is coming to an end. This whole Berenstain thing is happening.
Maybe those raccoons just had... Maybe he had, like, a sore thumb and wanted you to diagnose him. You know what I mean? The frog needed help because he had throat problems, and the raccoons needed help with their thumbs. Don't build an ark. Start a veterinary practice.
I mean, I don't think that he could have turned the door handle. But he certainly, I think he knew what a door handle was.
I think he probably could have turned the door handle. Raccoons are very smart and really shitty.
They're pissed at me ever since I started putting bungee cords on my trash cans. Because they kept getting in my trash cans. And it was fine if they wanted to eat my garbage. I don't want it anymore. It's garbage. But then when they got the garbage out, they'd like take the whole box. And then they'd like leave the box out in my front yard and stuff. And then I look like a garbage person. With trash all over my yard. Now, I mean, like, if you want to eat in the can and then leave, that's fine.
Right. But
if you start taking the boxes out and scattering them all over my neighborhood, then I'm the asshole. I got to start bungee cording my trash can.
Okay.
If you're not familiar with my past history of raccoon troubles, so then the sons of bitch started knocking over my ficus. I had a ficus up on my deck, and they were knocking it over, and they weren't damaging the ficus. They just wanted to knock over my ficus for some reason.
Maybe you should get a trash can just for the boxes and another can for the food so you can feed the raccoons.
So I just dump straight food in the trash can?
Yeah.
Maybe you should just dump your food in a pile right outside your front door and just let them have their buffet.
I think they like the idea. Like, it makes them feel better if they can break into a trash can.
Like they had to work for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that, like the Hamburglar. Like if he could probably just ask one of the fry cooks at McDonald's for a hamburger, but instead he likes to steal them.
Nobody's gonna deny. Honestly, a fucking McDonald's like cashier, if the Hamburglar walked up, they would give him a hamburger.
Yeah, if he just said, "Hey guys, you know what I like? Could you just hook me up real quick? I know you got one under the heat lamp."
People are just like, "Dude, did you see that? I mean, I had to give him a burger, right?
It's a fucking Hamburglar."
It looked terrifying.
But I don't think he'd be into it.
I feel like what you guys are saying is that I should let these raccoons into my house.
No,
yeah, they can live with the frog.
Yeah, I don't recommend that.
I should just fence off an area of my home and make that the wildlife area.
You could probably get some sort of government grant for that.
You might be able to.
The goddamn frog gets out and he's hopping around in my living room instead of the wildlife area. I'd say, no, no, frog.
Didn't you see the sign?
Area is
wildlife keep out. Should have went to break about 15 minutes ago.
We will be back in 5 minutes or so, less than that. I'd say like 3 minutes. Three good minutes just to take a pee.
What, collect what song are you going to play?
It's a surprise, Matt.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Is it something from Black Daughter?
See, here's the thing. I only listen to the show. Like, I have I rarely get to listen to it live. So then I listen to it the podcast, but you cut out most of the song. So I don't really get to hear the songs.
You're listening to Strange Label, the finest in internet radio. StrangeLabel.com.
Hello, this is Mike from the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program, and I am here to tell you about a new and exciting opportunity on StrangeLabel.com. Once a week, we will be having a talent show. That's right, a fucking talent show. Do you have what it takes? Submit your content now to StrangeLabelMusic@gmail.com and expose yourself to the world! Welcome back. Phone number to contact show 636-487-HAND. We have so much still to discuss. I just don't know if we're even going to have enough time, guys.
Fantastic Four is getting destroyed.
It is. You want to do a Hollywood Fantasy League update?
We haven't done one in a while.
It's been a while. Mission Impossible finished this past weekend. They had a 75% Metacritic, which is pretty good. So 75% times the $108 million that it made. So Mission Impossible, is it 5? Mission Impossible 5.
Yeah, it's 5.
Had, 81 points for the Furticast.
Nice.
So they are in pretty good shape. Because of how bad Fantastic Four is doing. Fantastic Four right now is sitting at a 27% Metacritic. And that is our last thing. Sonic Blasphemy's second round pick, that Zach Galifianakis movie.
Yeah.
It got pushed back to October. So.
Oh.
So they are screwed. And you guys are done. You guys are yeah. Firmly in third place. It's going to be a battle between us and the Furnicast.
I'm sorry. I just got back. Who, did anybody pick Fantastic Four?
We had Fantastic Four, Travis.
No fucking way.
Yeah. So what's going to happen is, the Furnicast has Straight Outta Compton left.
Yeah.
That actually looks really good. Like, I'm interested in seeing that movie.
So with the Furnicast's 81 points for Mission Impossible added to the 245 they already had. They are at 326 points. And we are at 342 points.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. My God. Fantastic Four is going to pull us in, what, like 2.5 points?
It's not doing good. So,
no.
Like, yeah, we are like 20 points ahead of the Furnacast with the Fantastic Four left. And they have Straight Outta Compton left.
There was like 30 seconds where my mind changed about the Fantastic Four. I was like, well, that doesn't look too bad. Maybe I'll go and see that. And then it got released and everybody was
Travis,
just like, this
the,
is
the
terrible.
Director of the movie tweeted that it sucked.
Yep. He's
on the day the movie came out, Travis, the director of the film said the movie sucked.
Yeah, he was blaming the studio for it.
Yeah,
he said that he got like banned from like the last few production meetings and the editing room. He wasn't allowed in the editing room, and it just turned into this whole huge fiasco.
Well, and you can see every review says that the first two-thirds of the movie are good, and then the last third of the movie is just a big pile of shit.
Like, yeah.
And it
that
seems
happen?
Like that's usually how the studio does it. They're like, no, this is not good for the ending. Let's do this and let's do that. And then it turns into a completely different movie.
Like, with all of the people involved in making a film, and I mean, like, and I imagine, like, you know, people's visions and stuff get cloudy, and maybe like the direction someone was going after it's been filtered through four or five different people, like it might get, you know, a little bit. But how do you make like just a really bad movie now? I mean, like at that level with that much money in play and that many people,
I can tell you exactly how it happens.
How do you make a big pile of shit now?
There's 40 producers and a bunch of studio execs that come in and they want to have a say. They say things like, what if Electro in Amazing Spider-Man 2, he was a really big Spider-Man fan. And then, for no apparent reason, he decides to hate him and just wants to kill him because he wanted to be his friend and helper, but then immediately wants to kill him. Let's do that real quick. Harry Osborn, who hasn't seen Peter Parker for 20 years, they become fast friends again, but then he gets real mad because Spider-Man, for some reason, refuses to give him his blood to cure his disease, and then he kills his childhood sweetheart.
I can tell that Travis is not a fan of the Amazing Spider-Man films.
I actually do really like them a lot.
Oh.
But I like
Andrew Garfield. I think he was really good.
Why doesn't somebody at some point in the process say, guys, this kind of sucks. We should fix it. I mean, somebody has to know it sucks.
Everybody says it, and they say it 1,000 times, and that's what happens.
They fix it too much.
I think what happens is they start doing those like screenings or those test screenings, where they start showing them to different parts of the film to different people. And to see what relates, like, okay, well, these people are responding to this, so we need more of this. And people are responding to the fact that, you know, these two characters are really young. Oh, people really like the fact that Dr. Doom is like a blogger. So, we need to have all of this stuff in there to make it like young and hip.
But I think he works for Salon.
Yeah, like we need to throw in all of the references to comic books to get the comic book nerds in, and they try to please too many people at once, and they just fall short.
Like, the shitty thing is like Josh Trank, because of how difficult it was dealing with the studio system, like backed out of that Star Wars like spinoff film that he was supposed to do. Josh Trank, like Chronicle, was an amazing movie that came out of nowhere. Like, I didn't even realize what it was. I watched Chronicle, I was like, holy shit, this movie is great. And when they announced him as the director for the Fantastic Four, I was excited as hell until I started hearing about it and seeing like images and previews, and it's like, oh no. Oh.
All we can hope for is in 20 years they will do a Fantastic Four documentary about the film as they were making it and why it turned out to be such a huge dud.
Like the Roger Corman one?
I was going to say, like, the Roger Corman one. But, I mean, like, Mike turned me on to that Lost Souls documentary.
Oh, so good.
About the island of Dr. Moreau. And I was a huge fan of that movie as a kid. I used to watch it.
Slap hands, brother.
Yeah, dude, I would rent it. I would make my mom rent it, and I would watch it all weekend. And I loved that fucking movie. And then as I'm watching that documentary, and again, like, I was turned on to it by your guys' show, it's such a that was a craziest fucking thing.
I love, like, stories about, like, the making of movies and stuff and
Mike,
all that. It's so crazy
the,
and
the first part of that documentary, and not to spoil it for anybody, but I'm going to spoil it, is you get this guy who's just monotonely just talking about the film and how the film that he wanted to make, and you're like, okay, he seems like one of these eccentric Hollywood types. And then when he just breaks into this whole thing about how he met with, like, this shaman and how they were going to do some voodoo to keep him on the film, and everyone was like, wait, what?
Usually...
But at that point, you let that guy make that movie.
There's an Entertainment Weekly or a magazine article about him now where they actually went to meet Richard Stanley. Mm-hmm. And he lives in, like, these fucking woods in this cabin now because it's close to a mountain where this fucking, like, apparently witches, like, the spirit of a witches lives. And he swears to Christ that he is, like, been in commune with her, and she is, like, telling him how to live his life and shit. This guy is fucking batshit.
Yeah,
so I, like, insane. Just imagine the movie that he would have made would have been crazy.
It was so funny when he's talking about different scenes, and, like, oh, man, I wanted to have this scene where the lady cat was, like, going down on him, and she bites his dick off, and, like, and he just casually says, but I don't think a big studio would like something like that. You think? You think that the mainstream audience wouldn't like somebody's dick getting bit off?
And you're right. It is, like, the delivery of that speech is so monotone that it's like, dude, this guy is so into it and thinks that it's so normal.
Yeah, and the way that he talks, it's my favorite.
Right, like, and I mean, that guy has such, like, a unique vision. It's almost comical that they sent somebody else in, like, with the same script, all the shit that this guy, like, created and this world that he created, and they just said, all right, man, here's the script. I mean, fuck, I don't know. Do the best you can.
Yeah, we got all the costumes and shit, so I don't know. We got Marlon Brando coming in, and Val Kilmer's on his way.
Yeah, I mean, you got some okay actors in here. I mean, do what you can do. I don't know.
That was my favorite thing. It's just, like, what ended up ruining and destroying his vision for what he wanted the film to be was Marlon Brando and Val Kilmer, because both of them were just so fucking crazy. Like, the only reason that he got a chance to direct the film in the first place was because of Marlon Brando, and then, like, Val Kilmer comes in and, you know.
Well, who were the original actors that he had? It was, like, James Woods and who was the other
Bruce
one?
Willis.
Like,
Bruce Willis.
Yeah, Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
James Woods and Bruce Willis were going to be the main dude. Yeah, like, I can't even imagine what that fucking movie would be with Richard Stanley directing the damn thing.
Richard Stanley would have had the hardest time with Bruce Willis because Bruce Willis has, like, such a fucking reputation of being a dick.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta get Tom Hanks.
Yes, Tom Hanks.
The consummate professional.
Let's just put Tom Hanks in everything. Because Tom Hanks is the... Let me tell you a story about Tom Hanks.
Ooh, the film would have been called Sleeping in the Island of Dr.
Travis, I don't even believe...
Meg Ryan would have been the cat lady.
I don't even believe that I told you this yet.
I would like to hear it.
So, the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio show, guys, we've gone through a bit of a transformation. We've been trying to kind of reach out and do interviews and broaden our scope. And Matt, your show does the same thing. You guys...
Yes.
You try to get guests. You try to branch out and network.
Keyword there, try. We try.
Matt Chuck has these people in his house, though. That's the difference.
You network. You expand. It's interesting to talk to different people other than...
I think so. I mean, I think so, yes.
I don't just want to talk to Napier about poop every week, guys.
Right.
It's fun to talk to other people sometimes. I mean, I still want to do the poop show sometimes. Anyway. So Matt says something to a few of us like a week or so ago. He says, hey, guys, I am now a member of IMDb Pro.
Yes.
And so if you want contact information for anybody, you just let me know and I'll give it to you.
That's what I said.
And it was nice of him. It was a nice thing to do. And me and Dan, we were kind of goofing a bit.
What's the first thing I said when you told me that? I said, Matt Chuck, what a good fella.
That's a good guy. It was nice of him to offer. So me and Dan were goofing on him a bit because that's what we goof on people. And we're throwing out this crazy list. And yes. One of the people on my list was Tom Hanks, Travis.
Were you trying to pitch him being Cable in the new X-Men movie?
I would have. And so Matt, being the nice fella he is, gave me the contact information for Tom Hanks' publicist.
I have not heard this story, and I am intrigued.
Now, Travis, we send a lot of emails.
I've sent 40 of them just through Facebook messages.
We've sent a lot of emails to a lot of people, and most people don't even bother to respond. Because why would they, really? There's no reason to even bother responding to us.
Zero. I've had this issue like on with my cast of characters on our show before, we got accepted into our first convention like 2 or 3 years ago, and the convention asked us to like, hey, listen, we'll let you guys in for free, but we want you to promote the convention on your Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that.
I love conventions.
And our cast of you know, people were so, like, they were like, that's not press passes. They want you to promote this thing in order to get these passes. Those aren't press passes. That's not how it's supposed to work. And I'm like, they don't have to give us anything. We're a stupid fucking podcast that nobody listens to in the first place. So the fact that they're giving us, like, an opportunity to go for free, hey, if they want me to fucking rub a fucking asshole, I will rub an asshole.
So, as the goof goes on, keep in mind, this whole thing has been a goof.
Yes.
I asked Matt for Tom Hanks' publicist, and he gave me the publicist's email address. He just called my goof. I took the email address, Travis, and I emailed the publicist because
you didn't use our standard email, did you?
I did. I sent the standard email that I sent everyone to Tom Hanks's publicist. And you know what Tom Hanks's publicist should have done? She should have ignored me because fuck, of course.
Into the trash.
Of course Tom Hanks isn't going to do the dick show, guys. Right. I got a reply today from Tom Hanks's publicist.
Are you making this up?
The person that handles Tom Hanks's...
You mean Larry Crown himself?
Hi, Mike. Thank you so much for reaching out regarding this wonderful opportunity.
It was a wonderful opportunity, now, I will say that.
I read that with sarcasm, as I'm should have.
First line, ha ha ha, fuck you.
Unfortunately, Tom is unable to participate due to his hectic work schedule.
It's hectic, guys. It is hectic.
We really appreciate your understanding.
Don't understand. What you need to do is respond and say he did that fucking Nerdist show with that fucking talking dead guy.
Now, all the people that have ignored us, you just take a goddamn page out of Tom Hanks' publicist book and you send me the rejection email. I can take it, guys.
A rejection is better than not hearing anything.
You know what? I turned it into a positive, Travis, because I was so excited that the person that handles Tom Hanks.
Did you print it out and frame it? Because that's what you need to do. Like, look at the sweet rejection we got from Tom Hanks's handler.
The person that handles Tom Hanks's PR took the time to send me an email. In a 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon, I kind of just talked to Tom Hanks, guys.
We had Tom Hanks on our podcast just because they sent that rejection.
Hey, now, Mike, make sure that you email again in a couple months and say, just check in.
Yeah,
no, just check in. Say, hey, listen, is he available?
Yeah,
now?
See if his
schedule calmed down.
You need to respond right now and say thank you, and I understand completely. And then 2 weeks from now, email the exact same email that says, that our standard email that says, please be on our show.
No, hey, no, I'm just going to reply, what about Colin?
Can we have a little bit of fun right now?
No.
Were you not having fun before?
Yeah, no, what's you weren't having fun? What's wrong?
He's not having fun. What's wrong?
I'm having a blast.
No, what do you need to have fun?
I was gonna see if, can I give out an email address to a celebrity?
Yeah.
To their
publicist? Don't say who it's for, though.
I won't say who it's for. And then, like, maybe your fans of WFOD can just email them, and
we'd love to have them on this show that I love. That's a great idea. Let's do it.
Are you just picking one at random?
Yeah, I got it. I got it right here.
You're not even going to tell us who it is?
Do you want me to?
Well, maybe we should, just so the fans can say, hey, whoever.
Yeah, yeah, they just email them and say, hey, we'd love to have this person on...
Matt, you know we don't actually have listeners, right?
No, none of us do, Mike. None of us do.
Okay, but go
ahead.
And
the people that listen are all assholes anyway,
Let's throw this out there.
And by the way, guys,
go buy some fucking mail-order steaks.
Hey, buy some vape pens, too, while you're at it.
Get some vape pens.
Oh, there was we got a new sponsor that, that accepted us, and I didn't see that they accepted us, and then they got kicked off the site. And then they got reinstated. It was like some like fashion trends, like a lady clothes or something. So if you want to buy some lady clothes, go to that.
Lady clothes?
Warby Parker.
I don't remember who it was. Shouldn't have brought
Matt Chuck, I like your idea. Let's do this.
Should I give out the email address? I even have a phone number here.
Maybe both.
The phone number?
You wanna...
So fans of WFOD, if you'd like to hear us talk to this celebrity,
Who is it, Matt?
Okay, I'm going to give out the email address first, and then I'm going to tell you who it is.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, the email address is...
Put this in your address book.
Yeah, it's Megan, just spelled normally, M-E-G-A-N, at Slate, S-L-A-T-E, dash, P-R dot com.
Okay.
So Megan at Slate, dash, P-R dot com.
Okay.
She is the publicist for Antonio Banderas.
Guys, let's get Antonio Banderas on the show.
We got to get that Nasonex B on here.
Now that we're doing this inside baseball stuff, Matt, so I have been in contact with a guest, a potential guest that would probably... Travis, would you say that this would probably be the biggest guest we've ever had?
The biggest guest we've ever had? No.
Top five?
Top seven.
I think definitely top five. Ooh. And so this guy, he says to me, hey, can I call you on the phone to talk to you about this? I don't want to do this through email. I want to talk to you on the phone. And so like when that happens, that's happened before, okay. I give him Travis's phone number. I don't want
to
talk.
Mike immediately says, I can't talk to people on the phone.
No. Travis is give the producer of the show.
Yeah.
Travis talks to people on the phone. I don't talk to people on the phone.
Yeah. Okay.
So I go to Travis. I say, hey, Travis, you know, this guy wants to talk to you on the phone. He goes, oh, okay. Yeah. Give him my phone number. So I did. And the guy said, I'm going to call. And then I got a message from Travis like 3 days later that said, oh, that guy called a couple times, but I had my phone off because I was out. I was on a Craigslist hunt for comic books.
That is not at all how that went.
I'm not surprised.
That's not at all how that went. Travis
turned his phone off to go looking for comic books, Matt. No, nope. Of course you have to have your phone off when you're driving around looking for comic books.
Nope, that is not how it went at all. Travis,
hold on. Travis, I don't want you to explain the situation because that's how I want to live in this situation.
Okay.
Because I only imagine that you only do stuff looking for comic books. Like,
he goes, guys, I need to focus my full energy to driving out to get these comic books.
It's pretty legitimate then. I mean, if you want to live it like that, that's pretty legit.
He writes down an itinerary of all the comic book places that he's going to hit.
Travis, did you get...
That happened.
Did you get really good comic books on this trek?
I
hope they were worth it, Travis.
Listen, real quick. I saw an ad on Craigslist a week ago saying, hey, guys, I got 48 long boxes of comic books, $1 a piece. I'm trying to save some money for Wizard World Chicago. I said, sure. God damn, 48 long boxes? That's a lot of comic books. I could probably get a lot of comic books out of there. I couldn't make it last weekend. Turns out my wife was taking my children to a friend's house.
Your wife was parenting.
She says, I'm gonna go with the kids to my sister's for the day and overnight.
Hold on. Because you know Mike right now, that as he's planning for the comic book excursion, he's like a little golem inside of his basement. And then, like, the kids try to reach out to him, and they're like, Daddy, Daddy, you haven't been out of the basement in, like, 3 days. And he's like, no, I gotta plan the comic book excursion.
Matt.
Yeah. It was up until Thursday that I was not sure whether or not I was going to go. And then I got, like, super sick. Like, my daughter gave me, like, she had a cough. You know,
right. Well, Matt, I'm a kid, right,
you,
sure.
No, listen, you're a parent. You know how your kids get, like, a cough or, like, a fucking snotty nose. And then 2 days later, you are, like, deathly sick with some kind of fucking crazy virus because like, they're down incubators. In
the basement planning this comic book excursion, and then he starts to get a cough. And then he starts going, those fucking kids got me sick before the comic book excursion. And then that's why the wife had to say, listen, we're going to go to my sister's for the weekend.
He's
okay?
going
to
kill his kids because they got him sick when he wanted to go get his comic books.
Matt, the fuck out of here.
Do you have anything that, like, you have, like, a huge collection of anything? Like, I mean, you have, like, a lot of DVDs or something.
Yeah, yeah. My collection is, if you go to thelotuscast.com, there's a huge collection of Lotus Cast episodes. In which I collect.
Okay, I'll play off of that. It was stupid, but I'll play off of it.
You're welcome.
Now, there's things that you forget that you, like, I mean, like, have you ever, like, seen something in, like, the $5 bin at Walmart and be like, oh, the first Fast and the Furious movie, I should own that for $4. And then you come home and you realize that you already had the Fast and the Furious on DVD, and now you have two of them.
Sell that shit on eBay, bro!
No, I am not a collector of anything. Like, your DVD collection that you have, I download everything and I put it on my external hard drive. But I mean everything. I haven't bought a DVD in 7 years.
So there's no way.
Why the movie industry is a big pile of shit, sir.
Travis, there's no way you know all the comic books you have. You probably buy the same comic book over and over again.
I was just going through this shit that I bought on Sunday. The sale was supposed to go till 4, and I was taking a little bit longer. So then I just started grabbing titles that I know I wanted to, like, fill runs in, and I'm like, ah, fuck, I can't look at my list. I'm just going to grab, like, handfuls of these cocksuckers. They're 50 cents a piece.
Do you even read them, or do you just add them to your box?
I read them. Not all of them.
Okay, so get to the part where you turn your phone off because you have to go buy comic books.
I turned my phone off because I was driving hours through Wisconsin, and the best thing to do is to pay attention to driving on the highway.
You know,
Wisconsin just implemented a 70-mile-an-hour thing. It used to be 65. So there's a bunch of dickheads that never drove 70 miles an hour before.
And
I have an idea.
I wanted to not die.
You know how you always come up with ideas on your show? I have an idea. We should create something that you plug into the cigarette lighter of the car, and then you plug that into your phone, and it keeps your battery charged.
Right.
And that way, your phone won't die as you're driving for like 3 hours straight.
You know what we should create?
My phone never died.
You know what we should create, Matt?
My phone never died.
We should create some kind of like hands-free headset thing.
Ooh!
I'm not gonna buy
a fucking hands-free just in case some shithead fucking calls about some guy that maybe is gonna do the fucking podcast. I'm gonna go buy a fucking Bluetooth.
Maybe not, just in case. Maybe not the guy about the guests for the show.
Maybe a guy's
what if one of your kids falls down or something?
I don't give a shit. I'll check that later. And as a matter of fact, I'll give you the real. My wife opened a door this weekend while she was at her sister and bent my like 3-year-old boy's toenail back, fucked his toenail all up, bleeding all over the place. I got that right away because that was a priority.
You got that right away after you got your comic books.
Well, yeah.
And you turn your phone back on.
Yeah.
So you happened to get that.
I was looking through half price books, so I had my phone on then.
Why? So you could like check and see if the prices were okay?
Yeah, I wanted to see if that was something that I could sell on eBay. So it was on then.
This is weird, right, Matt? This isn't normal behavior.
I don't know that it's not normal behavior, but it is, like, for me it would be out of the ordinary.
You know what I do normally when my wife leaves with my kids? I drink myself into a stupor, I cook a steak on the grill, and I watch Netflix for like 14 hours. This time, I decided, hey, there's this comic book thing I can, and I'm going to stop off in another town, check out a bunch of half-price bookstores to see if I can find some sweet deals and make a bunch of money, and then I'll also stop at some comic book stores. So I made a little day of it, and I decided to turn off the internet and also phone calls and ignored everybody who tried to get in contact with me until I was done.
I mean, I can't, like, here's the thing. I have Dave Harvey on our show who disconnects from the world.
Harvey's Headlines.
Yeah, outside of Thursday nights, like, he goes on these sabbaticals that nobody can get in touch with him for days on end.
So. It was the best thing I've ever done is to not have any contact with anybody. I've actually not... Usually I'm on Twitter multiple times a day. Sure. I'm on Facebook multiple times a day. I'm on, you know, I'm, like, checking my messages. I'm checking shit. It was, like, 3 or 4 days where I just was like, fuck all that. And it was the best 3 or 4 days of my life.
No.
Matt.
And you lost a guest.
No, probably
not. I'd probably call him back and say, hey, this fucking guy. Really?
I can't depend on anybody, Matt. Napier.
Mike.
You know, Napier said he's sick, and that's not, Napier's sick of doing the show. I don't think Napier's sick
this
at all.
This fucking Mike saying he can't depend on
anybody. Did you hear how many times that, man, Matt brought this up to me, and I noticed it when I listened back, and now, did you listen? If you didn't listen to last week's show, and if you did, it doesn't matter. Go back and listen to it again and count.
You listen to every episode of Wheelbarrow.
How many times Napier says something about me interrupting him?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he got it in his head.
Yeah.
And he just kept bringing it up over and over again.
Somebody probably told him you do that because you totally do.
You always
like Napier has a great line, and Mike steps all over the fucking.
Napier said that's why he didn't participate in the interview because I interrupt him.
That's not
here's the thing. I listen to the Wheelbarrow Athletics show religiously. I listen to it every week. Once it's up, I drive around in my dumb car and I listen to the show. And, you know, one thing that I notice is it's not so much that Mike interrupts people, is that he ignores people.
I was going to say, he just doesn't acknowledge it.
Yeah. You will say something, and then Mike will just, you didn't say anything. He doesn't consider that you said anything, and he goes past it. Now, I don't know, like, I mean, I can understand, like, when you're in a position... Like my position on the Lotus Cast, and I mean we're starting to play some inside ball here, but like it's the whole thing of keeping the show moving and making sure that it doesn't die down to where there's like these dead spots, and it can be a little bit stressful. So I can understand when things like that happen. Like, okay, yeah, there was a funny line there, but you don't have to acknowledge every.
You can
funny
say
line.
Good job once in a while.
Is that what you want me to do, Travis? You want me to
not
stop the
time.
Show every time you say something funny and say,
I
"Guys,
probably never said
guys
funny that should."
I just want to pause for a moment. I don't want to continue on the show. We have 90 minutes. I don't want to go a step further until I acknowledge that Travis told a funny joke.
Right? I never said Travis. I said Napier.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like, again, you know, everybody that's doing these podcasts, they're adults. They don't
these
need...
These podcasts? What the fuck are you trying to say? That ours is like everybody else's?
I'm not saying that it's like everybody else's, but I'm just saying that we don't need to hold hands. You know.
No, but slap hands once in a while, I think.
Well, after the show. After the show, hey, good show tonight.
Mike doesn't remember until he listens back that Napier said something funny.
You know what I generally do when I listen back to the show, Travis?
when say you have how a, shitty it was.
When you have, well, yeah, that. but when you have like a good line that I might have missed because I may have been peeking down at my notes, or I may have been, you know, thinking of where we're going from there.
Mike does tell me that I had a good line.
I will tell you when you had a good line that I missed.
I am it not. That's why I never said Travis. I said Napier. Napier yeah. has a lot so of good lines.
You're defending Napier?
I'm just saying that he, like, more than ever, I realize how much he has random one-liners that are really good that we step all over.
See, here's the thing. Again, I wouldn't agree with step all over. Because well, Napier has some amazing lines.
Like dance just, all over?
But the thing is, you... If, yes, if
like
you listen to it,
over.
Like if you're listening to it, if you're listening to the show, you heard that line.
Right.
I don't need to reference the line. I don't need to go back and have him repeat the line. No, you heard it. It was funny.
Let's break it down real quick. I just want to break it down real quick on a serious tip.
Okay.
I think Napier would be sick a lot less often if you patted him on the back for a good line once in a while.
You know, it's funny that Travis is saying this. There's an individual on our show that has given me shit before.
Oh, Sleepy Sam,
yeah. Has given me shit before because, and I quote, after we tried to give him some responsibility, he said that I, like, when he didn't do the responsibilities that were given to him, and I confronted him on it, he was like, well, you just don't encourage me enough to do it. I'm like, I shouldn't have to encourage you. We're all doing this stupid fucking podcast.
Napier
week
brought
in
up
and
last
week, out.
Week that I
You're
don't
not
pay
getting
him.
A participation ribbon.
He said he actually said you don't pay me to come over here.
He did. He said that more than once.
Like why the fuck would I pay you to come over here?
They're not making any money.
Yeah, I'm making all the wheelbarrow full of dicks money and not sharing it with him.
Oh God!
I mean, like, dude,
it's like Scrooge McDuck over there swimming through his wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Yeah,
money.
I'm making all my wheelbarrow full of dicks money, guys. I'm paying for the podcast server.
Then Napier, Huey, Dewey, and Louie is asking if he could get some lunch, and Mike is still swimming, saying, "Nope,
nope." There'll be no coin for you, son.
You don't even pay me to come on. You know, I paid for our phone line every... Why do I do that?
Yes, Travis, sir.
How often does Mike get a pat on the back for, hey, man, nice guest tonight. Hey, nice layout for the show. Nice topics that you brought.
No, I get, hey, Mike, why don't you pay me to come over here and do an hour a week? I mean, like, as much time as I put into this goddamn show.
But you gotta remember, sometimes Napier brings over taco meat.
Why aren't you pricks paying me?
Maybe sometimes taco shells as well as taco meat, but sometimes just taco meat.
All right, here's the new deal. If you want to be a co-host on this show that I put together every week, you're paying me.
Yeah, I mean, again, and there's no way to really bring this stuff up without sounding like a fucking egomaniac.
What are you trying to say, Matt?
I mean,
you think I'm an egomaniac now?
Well, we all kind of are. I mean, for anybody to sit here and talk for an hour and a half or 3 hours about themselves.
Thinking that anybody gives a shit.
Yeah, thinking that anybody really cares. Like, when I'm surprised, like, I have guests in, or if we're talking about something and I look in the chat room and the conversation is about something else, should I be surprised? Or it's just, I shouldn't be, right? Because who gives a fuck?
They apparently are listening, so that's good.
Are they? Or are they just using it as an excuse to just hang out? I don't know. It doesn't matter. I know the trials and tribulations that you go through, Mike. I experience them, except, you know, where you have, you know, the limited amount of co-hosts with the two, I have
too many.
Of seven. So. Beardy Leroy, he cares what you have to say.
Travis.
He said that.
Yes, sir?
Tell me you appreciate me.
Mike! I've told you multiple times that I appreciate you and that I appreciate you bringing me onto this wonderful program. And I think that we've grown the show with with wonderful guests. You know, it, we've expanded our horizons. I think that, I think that in itself, it pays in spades. I just think that Napier is the kind of guy who needs a random pat on the back to feel like he should be a part of it. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing. I love the Wheelbarrow Full of Dick show for all of the just intricate relationship between all three of you. Like, everybody, the way that everybody interacts with each other, you know, whether or not somebody's not feeling appreciated and somebody is, you know, or what have you, I enjoy all of the cast of characters on the show and appreciate all of you.
Oh, you mean like me? Dippy Dippy? Like that character?
Definitely.
You mean like that? Dippity Dippity? Yes.
Some of the times that I've laughed the hardest at the show is when he's made those stupid jokes like he made earlier.
Like the awful, awful jokes.
And then
he wants recognition for them, Matt.
Yeah.
He wants me to go, wow, Travis, that terrible pun you just made that killed the show was great.
Sometimes they're just so terrible that, like,
That awful joke that forced me to change topics entirely because there's no way we can go from here. Way to go with that one, guy.
I've been thinking about crafting that into an hour long.
I have missed going through green lights because I've been laughing at the stupidity that is the Travis jokes on occasion.
I have two little children, and they think I am hilarious.
Oh, well, that's just how it goes. And then I, you know.
I bring that to the world then, you know what I mean? Like, I work out my material on a 3- and a 6-year-old, and then I bring that to the world.
Tell Napier to grow a sack and just move on. You don't need a pat on the back all the time.
So what we just need to do is we need to tell people that, like, we're way better than we are.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were going to say better than they are, and I was going
to
say yep.
That like, we need to puff out our chests and beat them, and we need to say, like, we're, like, really, really awesome guys, and you need to come listen to it.
Did you hear what we have to say about this topic?
And then when they hear it, they'll say, oh, well, I mean, they're not really as good as they say they are, but they're like me. They're just like me, guys. We're just people. We're all just out there in the world.
The best analogy could be made like this: is like, oh, you know, it's not as great as they say they are, but it's kind of like Hell on Wheels on AMC, where I guess somebody must still be watching that because they keep making that show.
You know, I don't hear the buzz about Hell on Wheels, but goddamn if they're not in season 4. Maybe I need to find out what the big deal is, why they keep making these shows. They have to be expensive. I mean, there's costumes involved.
There's, like, Indians in a railroad, so somebody must be watching it.
I mean, AMC isn't paying the bill for all these old-timey costumes.
I mean, Netflix keeps paying for all of the episodes, so, I mean, somebody's watching it.
Hey! Did you guys watch and or finish True Detective season 2?
I did.
I fell asleep watching the last episode last night, and I got to the point where somebody was getting stabbed in an airport, and I fell asleep because I had drank too many beers at a company picnic.
Nice.
Here's the thing about True Detective. Without any spoilers, I'm just going to say,
Vince Vaughn dies.
Yeah, I did not like it.
Motherfucker.
I did not like it really at all. It wasn't good, but when it was all over, I thought to myself, well, you know, if they make a season 3, I'm still going to watch it.
You know, if they would have called it anything but True Detective, it might have been okay. If they just had a new HBO show called Crazy LA Stories or something, I would have been like, oh, look, Colin Farrell's in it and Vince Vaughn. Right. I wouldn't have compared it to the first season saying, remember how fucking great True Detective was?
I mean, it was 8 hours. It wasn't good. But, like, when it was done, I was like, okay, I'll watch more if there's more.
Mike,
this wasn't great.
Don't spoil anymore, Matt Chuck. I fell asleep.
Colin Farrell dies in a shootout in the woods.
You know what should have happened? The thing that lost me is when Colin Farrell got shot, like, multiple episodes ago, and you thought he was dead, right?
Yeah,
you
that
thought
was he was the dead. Second that was episode. Stupid. That
yeah, was, it was like dumb. The third or fourth episode, and then they're like, oh, Colin Farrell's dead. Awesome. Good job, guys. He killed the main character.
Yeah, they should have done that. That was dumb.
And then it was magic. He's back to life. Nope, he had a bulletproof vest.
And here's the
thing. Then they shot Taylor Kitsch, and then it killed all of that. Like, when they shot Taylor Kitsch, it should have been like, holy fuck. But it wasn't, because they already pretended to kill Colin Farrell.
The thing that bothered me more than anything else on the show is they told me who was wearing the bird mask, but they didn't tell me why he was wearing the bird mask.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I mean, I
feel
so
like if
problems.
A fella is walking around wearing a bird mask, there needs to be like a couple lines of dialogue that just say, hey, I got this bird mask, and this is why I wear it.
I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about, and I've watched every episode
except
last
night. Well, you just brought
up
the fact that Colin Farrell got shot. He got shot by a guy wearing a bird mask.
Who can even keep track of what the fuck is happening? Like, I never knew. Did you even know what they were true detecting?
No,
what were they
not
even
at all.
True detecting
There was this crazy mystery about a murderer that was pulling out people's eyeballs. I still don't know who was responsible for that.
I remember the fact that Taylor Kitsch accidentally rode up on somebody that was dead on a park bench when he was going to kill himself by riding his motorcycle too fast. And all of a sudden, that kicked off, like, something. Yeah. And I don't know what and why. And Vince Vaughn was pissed off because people were trying to take his power. But I didn't know who. And I didn't know what the fuck they were trying to solve the entire season.
So last night
when they were trying to tell me who did shit... I didn't know what the fuck they did.
Yeah, I was in the same boat. I don't know what we accomplished in season two, because I don't know. There was so many things. Like, I thought the eyeball murder would have been like, okay, that's the running murder through the entire season, just like we had in the first season of True Detective, but that just went away.
No, there like, was too many murders.
That just disappeared. We stopped talking about the eyeball puller-outer guy.
Guys, and we're joined now by Beardy and the Beast, the show that will be coming on directly after
well,
us.
Well, that's my mama.
I want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
Thank you for listening. You can hear us live every Monday night at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. You can download all of our past episodes as well as other goodies at wfodix.com. Pull up our show on iTunes, Stitcher, or the TuneIn app. You can follow us on Twitter at WFODix. You can also follow Travis at ProduceTravis or Drunk at DrunkardSTL. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/WFODix. You can email us at WFODshow@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call when we're live or leave us a message that we may play later on. That phone number is 636-487-4263. Again, thank you for listening. We will see you back here next week.